Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to all our listeners from Radio Islam International as well as to our listeners on Sirius FM. Alhamdulillah, beautiful Saturday morning, and our topic for this morning, making the 2019 academic year a success. I'm so pleased to be in studio today with such amazing guests. We have an amazing show lined up. To make the year run smoothly, sometimes we just need these gentle reminders. So today what I have, who I have in studio with me, I have two principals and I have a very experienced matric teacher that's going to just share some of the experiences and some of the expectations to make 2019 a very easy year for parents and learners. Like we said, come January, you know, we have all these goals and these visions of what we're going to do to make sure that the year is successful. So just please bear in mind and just listen to what my guests have to say, and hopefully 2019 is going to be an amazing academic year for all stakeholders. So my very first guest is Mr. Douglas Naidu, fondly known as Dougie Naidu, who is the principal at Progress Primary School in Lanesia. He's also the chairperson of the Lanesia School Sports Council. Good morning, Dougie, and welcome to Radio Islam International.
Good morning, Bibi Aisha, and thank you for having me on your show, and good morning to your listeners.
Thank you so much. Always a pleasure to have you. So, Dougie, how have the past 2 weeks into the new school year been going for you? How many headache tablets have you taken already?
Yeah, quite a few. Look, we've had a brilliant start to 2019. Mm-hmm. I think this year, the online application is actually working much better than the previous years.
Yes.
So a lot less headaches that we had this year than we had the previous year.
Mm-hmm.
But still a few headaches with late applications and
yes.
So on.
Yes.
But now I think we're used to it, and I think it is part and parcel of our jobs.
Most right? Definitely. Any cry babies or cry mummies and daddies in the first day of school?
Well, what has helped us a lot is that the grade R moves straight into grade 1. So we have very little crying in grade 1. The crying now starts in the grade R.
Yeah.
Yes. To be honest, this year we had a few, I think, day 1, day 2, and day 3. And then by day 4, the crying actually began to subside and in some cases, in some classes, stopped.
No, that's brilliant. I had a few cry mummies, but, you know, later we needed to pacify them. And then their children even said, "Mummy, I'm big now, go."
Yes.
I know one went to... Yeah, why even?
Little one also started double knots, so I think I've had more crying from him than the children at school.
But you know what? It's a stepping stone and something that's very important. But coming to that, you know, we're speaking about a new beginning where children start grade R or grade 1, but we often forget, Dougie, about the transition from grade 3 to grade 4. We don't realize that that is also a new beginning.
Yes, no, definitely. Look, it's the first year where children now see multiple educators.
Mm-hmm.
They're no longer babied in the sense that they only have one educator and one educator stays with them the entire day. They now follow a half an hour period timetable in our school case.
Mm-hmm.
And they go from class to class, and they go from period to period, subject to subject, and teacher to teacher.
Yes.
So it's the first time they have to encounter different personalities in terms of the teacher. They need to get used to those different personalities in terms of the teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And it becomes a learning curve for them to actually start adapting from subject to subject.
Most definitely. And I think, you know, for parents, maybe the advice would be, you know, you obviously welcome to add on here, is now your child is working with this timetable where, you know, the specific periods, obviously specific textbooks that they need to be using. So maybe sitting with your child for a little bit, helping them to pack their bag, to be a bit familiar, maybe just for now, for, you know, for the next week or two, just to get them familiar and into that routine.
No, definitely. I mean, what I would suggest to parents is that they must make a photocopy of the timetable. Every child in every school will have a copy of the timetable in their bags.
Yes.
Make a copy of the timetable, put it in a place where the entire family can see, right? And then on a daily basis, go through the timetable for the next day. Go through each book for the next day. Say, look, what have you done yesterday? What were we supposed to do at home?
Mm-hmm.
And are we ready for tomorrow? Right. And if they do that on a constant basis, the child will begin to be prepared for the next day.
Yes.
And also not be anxious of returning to school the next day because they're prepared.
Most definitely. Mr. Naidu, okay, sorry, Dougie.
Yeah.
How important is it for us as educators, for yourself as management, to remind parents that there's no such thing as them and us? We're on the same team. Our concern is the success of your child.
Yeah. No, you know, we cannot express how important it is. I mean, and words won't be able to cover that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the saying goes, it takes a village to raise a child, right?
Yes.
Parents, there's no such a thing as them and us anymore, right? We rely on parents as much as they're going to rely on the school. Without the parents giving them the foundations from the very beginning, right, and on a constant basis, keeping them in tune with what is supposed to be the correct path, right? We at the school will play our part, the parent needs to play their part.
Yes.
Without one of us playing the part, the child is going to go astray.
Most definitely. And are you going to tell us, from a primary school level perspective, from grade R right up until grade 7, why is parental involvement so important, aside from the very important point that you made now? Now, when I'm talking parental involvement, I'm, you know, referring as well as to parents attending school meetings and being involved in what's going on in the school, as well as being involved in what's going on in your child's life.
It's of utmost importance. Let's begin from the very before the child even enters school.
Mm-hmm.
The parent is very much responsible for being a parent, right? And when they enter school, we take it for granted that the child knows how to hold a pencil, for example. The child knows that the book turns from one direction to the other direction. The child knows how to say their names. The child is able to communicate, in our case, in English, because
yes.
Our lot of our school is English.
Yes.
So we take it for granted. When the child comes into grade R, right, we continue from where the parent left off,
mm-hmm.
and then we move forward. Then the parent's role becomes someone to reemphasize what is being done in the classroom on a daily basis, but also to talk to the child about learning, to talk to the child about behavior, to talk to the child about the facts of life, and to keep the child on track all the time, right? When the child gets into the but higher grades, right, the participation of the parent even becomes, should actually even become more. So the parent should be at school all the time.
Yeah.
I know teachers are going to probably complain about this, but the parent should be at our school on a daily basis to find out, what did my child do today? What are we going to do tomorrow? So the child then sees a link between the parent and the school. So the child herself or himself cannot or will not be able to be dishonest to school or dishonest to parent, because he sees that there is a tight link between parent, school, and the child himself.
Most definitely.
Right. And once the child sees that, right, then it becomes a very beautiful relationship between the three.
Yes.
And then once the child gets into the higher grades, right, that responsibility of the parent should be even more. Because then you begin to see who your friends are, who your child is playing with, who are his friends. You can even invite them over. So you begin to be part and parcel of your child's life.
Yes.
And
yes.
It is not something that's, you know, just there up in the air, and the child sees it as going to school. It's got nothing to do with my family environment and then coming back home. It begins to be part and parcel of the child's entire life and the child's growing up. And if the child sees the parent next to him throughout his life, in every aspect of his life, he begins to feel more confident to excel in things at school.
Most definitely. And also, Dougie, you know, very important, maybe you can just share this with our listeners. Not every child is very academically inclined, and that's okay. That is okay. When there's extracurricular activities, encouraging children to participate there, you never know that's where their strength may lie. So maybe just your thoughts on that, please.
Yeah, look, I mean, you hit the nail on the head. Not every child is the same academic. Children learn at different paces. Children learn at different speeds. So parents must realize that don't push your child to be like Uncle Tom's child who's coming out first all the time. Parents need to let their child be themselves. Monitor their learning, right, and let them be themselves. Then there's a whole list of extracurricular activities that public schools in the Lanesia area offer. Mm-hmm. There's the English Teacher Society, there's Lanesia School Sports, right? Through Lanesia School Sports, you can play a wide variety of sports.
Yes.
And children then begin to excel at these sports. Once they excel at these sports, they build confidence that will then be carried into the classroom as well.
Most definitely. Right. Most definitely.
Children must be children, right? And we as adults must be part and parcel of their journey into adulthood.
Most definitely. I think you've just, hit the nail on the head. Perfect advice. Last message. Closing message to the students that are listening in, primary school, high school, it doesn't matter. What is your message to our youth?
Let me try and summarize.
In 1 minute, please.
Long message. Look, I think we as schools are here, right, for learners. Learners are, we're not there to fight with them. We're not there to talk about their hairstyles on a constant basis. We're not there to shout them with their uniforms on a constant basis. We're there to educate them, to teach them, right? Mm-hmm. And as long as they can absorb that, we will give off as educators. We will give off as much as we can give off. And I think all public schools have their good points and their bad points. Learners are well within their rights through their parents to bring to us the attention of our bad points. We'll try and rectify that.
Yes.
But absorb the good points and move forward from there.
Most definitely. Look at the bigger picture. At the end, like we said, our common goal is the success of your child.
Yes, 100%. We advise to parents as well as the children. We want to see them succeed.
Yes.
We want to see them going to a high school and making something of themselves after high school. We want to see them be productive citizens so that the country can grow as a whole.
Most definitely. Mr. Dagi Naidu, thank you. Always a pleasure engaging with you. We wish you, continued success with the LSS as well as with all the outstanding work that you are doing in the community. God bless you.
Thank you so much. And thank you to your listeners.
Thank you so much, Dagi. Thank you so much. Stay blessed.
Thanks, man. Okay. Right.
Okay, listeners, so there we got our point of view from a principal at one of the schools in Lanesia regarding learners and parents of learners who are in primary schools. So our next guest, we have Sister Raimeen Vanya, who is the deputy principal of Willamore High School in Benoni. And joining Raimeen is Brother Imran Karolia, who is a journalist with a passion for education. Imran furthered his studies specializing in English and has taught grades 8, 9, 10, 11 and matric. He also has taught poetry on webinars, has matric marking experience and further experience as an examiner. So between Raimeen, Sister Raimeen and Brother Imran, they are going to be providing us with some useful tips that our matriculants for 2019 can start implementing and also advice to parents and learners who are now at high school level. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Brother Imran and Sister Raimeen, and welcome to Radio Islam International.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Sister Bibi Aisha, to Abba Raimeen in studio. And to the listeners of Radio Islam and Sirius FM, what an honor to be on Youth Talk this morning.
Well, it's such an honor to have you guys, because I know a lot of friends of mine have children that are already in matric, Sister Raimeen, and the parents are panicking. I know during the holidays, a lot of the students have already been having a bit of anxiety. Next year's matric, what am I going to do? And my advice to them was, it's the holidays. Let's just forget about that now. Breathe. And take it easy. So I hope I gave them the right advice.
Assalamu alaikum, Imran. It's so good and I'm so proud that you're in the education field.
Yeah, so much.
Okay, this is what I mean. I'm going to start with you as part of management, right? Deputy Principal at Willamore High School. You can talk about your school in particular if you'd like, but overall, what are your views regarding the matric results for 2018?
Okay, comparatively to the previous years, and I'm referring to the Ikurleni North District, that's where my school is, we achieved a 96.4% pass.
MashaAllah, that is outstanding.
You might say that, but it has been lower than what we expected.
Oh.
But then also, there were contributing factors to that. It was the MEO and progress learners from grade 11 into grade 12,
mm-hmm.
and we achieved a 48% bachelor's pass. But comparatively to the district, our results surpassed the averages.
That's excellent.
And just speaking to many of the educators in the schools around there,
mm-hmm.
it was the same feeling. It was the MEO learners, the progress learners, that were not actually ready to write the matric, set for it, and the results were rather disappointing for that child, not so much for the school, but for the child.
For the child. And overall, the matric results in South Africa for 2018, what are your thoughts?
There was a decline generally, and as I said, comparatively, most of our Muslim schools performed outstanding,
mm-hmm.
most of our independent schools performed outstanding, but then again, when I looked at the language of learning and teaching, to most of the government schools, English is their second, if not third, so
mm-hmm.
that's where the struggle comes in when writing independent external papers, and it's something we have to work with.
Something that it all boils down to comprehension and communication skills, which is, again, lost. The language of learning and teaching is English. And that's where I'm going to bring Brother Imran in. You know, very important that Sister Raimeen mentioned this because to achieve success in any examination, whether you're writing a subject in mathematics, biology, history, you need to be able to communicate and comprehend in English because that's where your questions are set. Am I correct, Imran?
No, most definitely. And you know, some of the challenges learners face when we actually mark English papers, etc., is basically, you know, the reading of questions and giving examiners what they want. And then more specifically, with when it comes to English home language, it's the ability to argue, justify, substantiate, you know. And then we also see problems with time management and papers that have choices that learners, you know, basically make quite bad choices.
Yes.
But the good news is that when it comes to English, I think learners need to change their mindset about English itself. Paper 1, paper 2, paper 3, they sort of assume that it's a lucky packet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like when it comes to the writing, that, you know, they can ask anything and we'll just be able to write down on the examination answer booklet.
Yes.
But here's the thing, and this change of thinking, learners need to understand, and I'm talking to the learners now,
yes.
that English is all about skill. What is a skill? The ability to do something well. Now, how do you master that skill? You practice.
Yes.
You practice like maths. You know what I mean? And when you practice, you know, you'll be able to master those concepts. And when you do pass papers, you'll know exactly what to expect.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the question. How do you study and, you know, improve your English? Like, you know, many people say, yes, I want to study, and they put time aside and the whole weekend goes and they haven't done anything of quality. So how do you study for English?
Okay, now, Imran, I'm going to ask you to just hold on to that thought because we're going to break for ads. And, you know, our listeners are hopefully going to go and get their notepad and their pens and they're going to make notes from what you're saying. So we're going to be returning shortly, inshallah, after the ad break. Jazakumallah khairan. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to all our listeners from Radio Islam International as well as to our listeners who are tuned in on Sirius FM. You're listening to me, Bibi Aisha Lahir, on Youth Talk. And this morning we're talking about making the 2019 academic year a success. Before the break, we spoke to Dagi Naidu, who's the principal at Progress Primary in Indonesia, and he gave some very valuable advice to parents of learners who are at primary school level. And now we're talking to Brother Imran Karolia, who is an FET educator, as well as to Sister Raimeen, who is the deputy principal at Willamore High School in Benoni. And just before the ad break, Ibrahim Ran, you were going to share some very valuable tips for matric students.
Oh, yes. Particularly when we were chatting about English just now,
mm-hmm.
I was saying that it is about practice. So if you take the whole year, for example, in grade 12, you know, you're probably only going to do a comprehension about 5 times. And that's the reality of it because there's so much of content. So when you do, you get better at it and you basically are improving your skills as to how to answer.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But when it comes to just general advice, and I know the grade 12s are listening, the grade 12s of 2019, they're listening.
Mm-hmm.
I do have a few points if you want me to share.
Please do.
Just giving them advice on how to get through the year.
Mm-hmm.
The first one is organization, you know, organizing your cupboards and your files so that you're not faffing and wasting time when it comes to actually studying. The next thing is, deliberate study time where you put your cell phone aside. You won't believe how draining it is on time. And this thing about weekends and free time, you know, it was probably a week to trials, and I went out, to a spot in Joburg for supper, and I saw some grade 12 learners, and I was utterly shocked. What happened to exertion? What happened to burning the midnight oil?
They were taking a break.
No, you don't take breaks in matric. You know what I mean? You have your few days from the holidays, where you refocus and sort stuff out, and then you get straight back into it. You know why? Because it's really about personal achievement, and that's what I want as a teacher for my learner. You know, everyone performs differently, and you want them to set their own benchmarks, make their own targets, and I cannot stress this enough. And to the grade 12s who are listening, and you know what, not only the grade 12s, from grade 8 to grade 12, sit with your parents, take your last report. It's why they call it a progress report.
Yes.
You need to show performance. Write down your targets for each of your subjects, for each of the learning areas. And you know what? Put it up on the fridge. You know why? Because you'll be accountable for it. You'll be accountable for it. And then one more thing is, you know when learners receive feedback?
Yes.
Now, you must know the policy document is written in phases.
Mm.
So you don't get a policy document for grade 12 and for grade 11. You get it for the entire FET phase and the senior phase.
Yes.
So when teachers have marked and they're now handing out the scripts, you know, students only look at the mark. Don't only look at the mark. See where you went wrong. And this is the time, particularly grade 12, where we consolidate what we've learned over many years.
Yes, yes.
And when you take it, because it's about consolidation, you're seeing where you're going wrong, and then it comes down to practicing what you're least good at.
But Imran, very excellent points, pertinent points, but also I'm very happy about what you said, you know, see where you're going wrong. You know, like for learners to go up to their educator and get feedback, that's important, because this learner is obviously showing commitment, and where am I going wrong? Let me rectify my error and let me work towards achieving my goal. So in that way also, you know, our appeal would be to educators to have this open communication with your learners, give them the necessary feedback, and have it open communication, like I said just now.
Yes,
very
definitely
important.
And I don't know if Upper Rhyming will agree with me. By the way, Upper Rhyming taught me grade in grade 8, and she taught me accounting.
Okay.
But here's the thing, Aparaimin will tell you that, look, as teachers, we only have a specific amount of time with our learners. For English, I know it's 4.5 hours a week.
Yes.
And then there's school activities and stuff, so sometimes you do get slight interruptions.
Yes.
And cooperative learning periods, etc., but to the learner's benefit. So in terms of time, you don't only work on notional time. So that's why for learners who really want to show a tangible improvement on the mark sheet and go up 10%, 15%, 20%, you actually need to do more than what the learner does in class,
exactly,
than what your teacher does in class. Aparaimin, do you agree with that?
Yeah, Aparaimin is actually, she agrees with you because she's been nodding her head when you're speaking, like in agreement. But I think Aparaimin is going to discuss with our parents of matriculant. Because again, when it comes to matriculant, like we said, the anxiety, with the matric exam coming up, but then the parents play a very, very important role in that year as well. Sister Aimee, do you agree?
Gee, before I actually start with that toward parents, you know, Imran, I just want to touch on a few things. Being a matric educator for the last 23 years and currently a matric educator as well, I'm going to share with you and the learners what actually works.
Mm-hmm.
From day one, learners need to start working.
Yes.
So if we have 7 subjects, which is usually 7 or more, you have 7 days in a week. Adopt 1 hour in each day to give off or invest in a particular subject.
Mm-hmm.
And over the week, you would have overcome studying for 7 subjects. And that has really worked in achieving 100% pass rate in accounting over all 23 years.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to that, 2, adopt a study method plan that works for you. Like my learners put charts on the ceiling or on the floor. Yeah. And the first thing they wake up, that's what they see. Sing in the shower. Take a walk in the park. Don't listen to your parents who says you have to be confined behind a desk or a chair.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to sleep 7 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And also, learners, please, you don't have to take those energy drinks like Red Bull or Monster.
None of those energy drinks, exactly.
But there are other healthy alternatives.
Yes.
And
can I just interject there? Can I just ask you something? That, you know, a lot of the study tips that are being shared by yourself and Brother Imran, you know, our learners as young as grade 7 and even grade 8 can start implementing these strategies. So by the time they come to matric, it's natural that those organization skills are already developed. Am I correct?
Definitely. And, you know, matriculants, you need to control your thoughts. Your matric ball and your driver's license can happen after that.
Yes.
Okay, so just give off your best.
Yes.
And then to our parents, that's where I can continue now.
Yes.
Parents, your involvement is really meaningful. But please don't tell your parent, tell your child, can't you be like that child in the newspaper?
Mm-hmm.
Or can't you be like the neighbor's child? You should know your child's ability. Encourage your child to give off their best. Be an active listener. What you can really do that works for me and my children is get involved in university applications, finding out about bursaries, finding out about the NBT, looking at career choices, because that would help your child. Be there, be active, healthy meals for your child, be present, but don't make decisions for your child that career is better for you because I'm in it.
Yeah.
I know why I'm saying this, because I'm a parent, and if I could just share this experience with parents and learners. So my son, from grade 8, I really wanted him to be a CA.
Mm-hmm.
And alhamdulillah, in grade 12, he finished off with outstanding results and universities accepted. And then when I sat with him, he said, Mom, but I want to be a pilot.
Wow.
And I thought, way. But he's happy. And had I chosen that CA for him today, he might not have been as happy
exactly,
as he is.
Exactly.
So believe in your child, trust in them, and be there for them. And one other thing, the school is not the enemy.
Yes.
If you need information, if you need to speak to the teacher, if you need extra lessons, create that network, that platform between you, your child, and the teacher.
Most definitely. Like we said previously, it's not them and us. We're all on the same team.
Definitely.
We are all on the same team. Okay, Brother Imran, I'm just going to ask you, you know, we spoke about the transition from grade 3 to grade 4, and that is a big transition. And you have also had experience teaching grade 8. So the transition from primary to high school, you know, Sister Amin is going to tell us about that as well, because I believe you had an orientation last night. But what are your thoughts regarding that? When you've taught learners in the grade 8 class, did you feel like you're going back to a grade 1 class? What was that like for you?
No, when I receive them in grade 8, you know, I think it just comes down to subject matter, etc.
Mm-hmm.
But this transition is so very important. It's an important phase in the child's lives. So it can be complicated by social, emotional, psychological changes. And this can, you know, have a negative impact on learning. You know, sometimes when you move and when you go through the schooling system, you may even swap schools, for example. But then for some learners that, for some schools that offer multiple phases, you just simply go to the next class. So you must know that learners in grade 8, 9, 10, it's a difficult time because they're going through very significant changes.
Yes,
so the learner in grade 4 is not the same learner in grade 10.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, this time, Sister Bibi Aisha, it's a time of change, development, growth, and most importantly, and this is what I love seeing because you see them develop and you see them mature, it's about identity formation.
Yes.
You know, the person that they are going to be for a very long time, it takes place at this level. So school culture is important. So what we need to do as teachers and as parents, we need to enhance learners' coping skills from primary to high school. We need to assert their sense of capability, resourcefulness, resilience, independence, you know. So reinforcing this from home and within the greater social setting is of utmost importance. So what we need to do is we need to assist in making this a very exciting time and an enriching time for learners, because school comes down to an experience.
Most
and
definitely.
We need to give them we need to give them a great experience.
Okay, now again, Sister Amin, you can add on here as well as Brother Imran. communication at this point is very, very important, because like you said, this, you know, it's all about identity. There's going to be peer pressure. You're going through puberty. You're going through the whole adolescent period. You're exposed to so much of another level. So aside from focusing on academics, you have the social pressure. You're developing who you are as a person. There's so much going on there.
Well, yeah. Look, the transition into a high school or a junior high school from grade 7 to grade 8, firstly, the environment is large.
Yes.
The nurturing is less. And also, it's much more demanding, both on the learner, on the parent, and the teacher. Now, we had our orientation last night. We had 255 grade 8 learners. But our orientation actually started the previous year, where we met with the grade 8 learners and we actually did a baseline assessment with English and mathematics.
Excellent.
And I hope my primary school colleagues don't shoot me down for this, but the results of it was quite shocking.
Oh.
The reading ability of the grade 8 learners is not what we expected. So, but at least we had a baseline as to where we need to work from and where to get them. Now, it should be a seamless, enjoyable transition, but it's not.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite daunting, nervous. Like yesterday, one of the learners said to me, "Ma'am, you know, I was the RCL leader in my primary school, but yeah, I am a baby. And also, I don't know my teachers. I'm lost. I don't know my environment." So it is an identity crisis.
And at least this child has the courage to come and tell you that there are so many. They could be smiling and walking around, but they have this anxiety within. And obviously, that's also hampering their performance in the class. Am I correct, Brother Imran?
No, definitely. And, so, you know, what Afaraimin just said is so pertinent, because when you do receive them, you know, like from an English point of view, reading, grammar, vocabulary, it's really, I'm going to use the word, definitely appalling. It is that.
Strong
you know
word.
What I mean? So, I know it's a very, very strong word, because you're talking about the proficiency and the command of the language, rules, structures, conventions. But you know, that's what makes teaching so rewarding, because what learners then do is that they learn to cope, you know, and we learn to teach them, well, apart from syllabus and apart from the curriculum, we teach them other skills.
Yes.
You know, so probably for the learners and, you know, the ones who are finding it to be very difficult, for example, when as they enter high school, is, you know, you need to realize that sooner or later you're going to be the captain of your own ship, you know? And it really comes down to the basics of what school is about. Do your homework. Don't copy your homework. Ask if you don't understand. You know, understand? If you're weak, do more than what the teacher does in class. Read anything you can get your hands onto and practice writing.
Yes.
You know? And I think with all of that, you'll find that it will be easier to deal with. It will be easier to deal with. And that's exactly what we want for the learners.
Most
and
certainly.
Alhamdulillah, you know, they'll show that growth and that development they make their way into the FET phase.
And if I could just come in, Bibi Aisha, like grade 8 and 9 educators would attest to this fact that it's the most challenging year for a teacher and for a learner, the grade 8 year.
Yes.
But somehow they blossom and they mature by the time they come to grade 10 to 12.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what makes this transition easier is like schools need to have a strong SBST, a school-based support team.
Yes.
You need to have orientation programs, not only one day, but it needs to be ongoing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what works for us, and maybe most of schools, where there's a head of grade, but we have a mummy and a daddy.
Oh,
so
brilliant.
They adopt these children. They become the parents. So from the beginning till grade, till 2023 now, the 5 years, the mummy and daddy will be actively involved, liaising with the child, liaising with the parent, ongoing. So the district, the school-based support team, the orientation programs, allowing your parents to actually come in if they have a concern, and try to make this a home away from home for our grade.
But I would think also very simple things is when there is a parent meeting. I know, like at our school, we use a D6 communicator, which a lot of you know, schools have that app available. So the thing is, you know, if there's a parent meeting, attend it. If you can't, you know, send your apologies. I would think that'll just be common courtesy, and make some attempt to go and meet the teacher, or meet the school and see what's going on, because you constantly need to know what is going on in the school, so you're on top of your game as a parent.
So definitely, that's what schools encourage. We want that parent interaction. We don't want to alienate parents.
Yes.
And therefore, we accommodate them beyond those days, even if it's after school hours or private meetings where you can discuss your particular needs of the child.
True.
But parents must be actually actively involved.
And I think we can all come to this agreement that when we say making the academic year for 2019 successful, we're not just talking about marks in passing with distinction. We're talking about all stakeholders working together with the same goal in mind, which is the overall holistic
development
and success of your child. Am I correct?
Yes. You know, Imran, just to say that, add on that, our school has, we have an academic day till 2:15, but then 2:15 to 5:30, it's extramurals.
Yes.
So the child can get involved in 18 extramural activities, and that develops them holistically. But we encourage our parents to attend.
Yes.
And see what the child is actually doing.
And those extracurricular activities also help build confidence.
Definitely.
And unfortunately, we're going to have to round off soon. So I'm just going to ask both of you to quickly, in less than a minute, if you can. Please, I want to start with you, Brother Imran. What is your advice, firstly, to the parents that are tuned in today, and then to the listener, to the youth?
Okay, to the parents, there's this misconception that parental involvement is actually knowing how to do the math problem or, you know, how to do whatever homework the learner has. And that's why parents think that this involvement, you understand, has to do with actual work.
Mm-hmm.
So the parents, they don't have to know physics and accounting in the FET phase. When we're talking about involvement, we're talking about progress and improving and encouraging your learners. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
And that extra push, it's so important, because learners can get so caught up in day-to-day activities and lose focus on what the bigger picture is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why so many learners in matric don't know what they want to do after school. So parents need to guide and empower their children every step of the way on the schooling journey.
Mm-hmm.
The second piece of advice I have for parents is regarding communication. Dear parents, listen to your child.
Yes.
Be attentive, be present, listen, be approachable and open to the current challenges learners might face. At the same time, don't be intrusive or judgmental. Communication
mm-hmm.
is everything. It really is everything. I've had learners come up to me and share personal information, you know, that needs adult intervention, advice
yeah.
and support. And if they don't come up to me, then believe it or not, I see it in their essays.
Mm-hmm.
So high school learners have so much to share. Do not disregard what they have to say, however insignificant you think it might be. If you do not listen to the little things when they are little,
yes.
then you won't listen to the big stuff when they're big.
Or they just won't tell you about the big stuff because they know that you're not approachable. So basically, your interaction with your child now is laying the foundation for what your relationship is going to be with, like with your child later.
Yes, definitely. To the other learners from grade 8 to grade 11, this is your time to showcase, to build, to learn, to grow, to form your identity, to argue, to learn different skills. And to the grade 12s of 2019, I know it can be, a lot to handle. Let me just tell you one
thing. Okay, Imran, I'm going to ask you to summarize now quickly, please. I have to just get a closing message from Sister Raimi.
It's very short. If you get to grade 12, you can handle grade 12. And inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make you very successful.
Ameen. 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 Please just stay on the line with us. Okay. Sister Raimi, quickly your closing message.
I'm really going to try quickly. You know, just a parent involvement from my side, from management side, is twofold.
Mm-hmm.
Parent involvement, parent interest, parent support, in terms of academics and in terms of non-academics. Academics don't do the child's essay for them.
Yes.
Because eventually in a 2.5-hour exam, the child has to achieve that result for himself.
Mm-hmm.
So as Imran said, be there, be present, how can I help you, but don't do the work for the child. In terms of non-academics, please support the school in terms of school regulations.
Yes.
If you can sort the child out in terms of respect and values, then the school can focus on academic improvement. So, parents, yes, we value your support, but know what is involvement, what is interest, and when you should toe the line. In other words, let go of the primary school child into high school.
Mm.
Allow him to become a responsible responsible young adult who can face the real challenges of the world.
Excellent advice from all my guests. You know, may the Almighty reward you guys in abundance for the sterling work that you are doing in educating and empowering our future generations. My message to our youth, may the Almighty Allah increase you in knowledge, wisdom and understanding, and may you be successful in all that you do, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with your efforts, inshallah. I look forward to chatting to you again next week, inshallah. Please remember us in your du'as. On behalf of myself, Bibi Aisha Lahir, and my engineer Hafiz Hanzala, Jazakumullahu khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.